Hello and welcome to Conduit Conversations, bringing you pioneers at the cutting edge of social change. I'm Paul Finsale, co-founder of The Conduit, a home for people passionate about positive impact. This episode is part of a new series exploring sustainability and fashion, created in partnership with Ralph Lauren. Throughout this series, we're inviting key leaders, academics, creatives, and entrepreneurs to share their stories and views on the challenges and opportunities of today's fashion industry. We'll look at how brands, influencers, and media can pull together to deliver much-needed positive change and explore the collaborations and innovations shaping a more sustainable future. This series is inspired by Design the Change, Ralph Lauren's global strategic roadmap to create timeless style, protect the environment, and champion better lives in line with the G7 Fashion Pact and the United Nations Global Compact. My guest today is Rachel Arthur, co-founder of FashMash, a global members-only community of fashion insiders and a sustainability consultant driving change within the fashion industry. Rachel is a strategist focused on how to bring systems-level thinking to the space. Her big focus is on innovation, which sees her leading the industry strategy for Google's fashion sustainability platform. In 2016, Rachel delivered a TEDx talk about the role tech needs to play to enable a more environmentally sustainable fashion industry. By background, she is an award-winning business journalist. She established the first news source dedicated to fashion and technology and has contributed to heavyweight titles including Wired, Forbes, and the Business of Fashion. Rachel, welcome and thank you so much for joining us.
Hi, Paul. Thank you very much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
So you founded FashMash in 2012. Tell us a little more about what it does and what inspired you to launch the platform.
Yeah, sure, of course. So I guess the sort of starting point is around the fact that my career has always been about this notion of change. So tracking change in terms of where it's coming from, what it means, and then helping businesses to adopt it in a way that's right for them. And when we launched FashMash, as you said, back in 2012, it was during this time that digital transformation was the core challenge. That's what everybody was trying to wrap their head around and think about. You know, things like how to evolve into e-commerce and how to get their social media strategies right. Things that today are all supposedly very straightforward, but at the time were brand new opportunities and challenges for everyone in the industry. So we started FashMash, myself and a friend of mine called Rosanna Falconer, who at the time was running digital at the British Fashion Council. And I was a journalist. And between us, we were both really following what was happening intently because of our jobs. And we knew a lot of people because of it. So we just decided to get them all together. There were 15 of us the first time round, and it was just very casually over drinks. And then that just started to grow and grow. We were doing them every quarter. We were doing them in different cities and at events around the world. And we got to a point where we have about 500 core members and then a much larger database than that of other people that attend for various different occasions. And the networking continues as the kind of core premise, if you will. But outside of it just being about people from fashion brands, which is where it started, it's obviously all of the other parts of the industry that touch fashion and the way it's changing. So we have technology companies and investors and creative agencies, startups, you name it. And what we found that kind of united everyone was this notion of, trying to figure out exactly where we were going with what was changing and what was happening, forging our own paths through it and figuring out things as we went, basically. And FashMash became that place, even though it was very small and very casual, to share ideas and to ask for help and to collaborate with everyone. And as I said, over the years, that's really grown. But the networking premise remains that it's about, you know, getting people together in a room, in a physical space, still doing those more casual drinks versions, but also the more formal sort of fortnightly roundtable discussions. And we also have a monthly speaker series called Pioneers, which is all about insights and education. And obviously the topics have evolved as well. You know, it's not just about digital transformation anymore. Inevitably, the world has moved on quite significantly. And what we're talking about more than anything else is, of course, sustainability. And arguably, that's even more important and more significant. But the challenges remain the same in that everybody's trying to figure out their version of it and where things are moving and how to change. So arguably, that's what we've always been about, you know, helping to enable people to figure it out and enable this open conversation and discussion to help hopefully drive part of that change along the way.
So I love this idea of collaborative, open conversations. Can you tell us how that's stimulating or leading to positive social change?
Yeah, I mean, to me, this is everything, right? The fashion industry has traditionally been, you know, so closed in its competitive behavior. It was really this sort of natural behavior of keeping our cards to our chests because that's the way we've sort of been brought up within it all. And it's understandable, but I think digital kind of brought with it a bit of a new era. You know, a lot of people that came in to run the digital side of the industry weren't from fashion and they wanted to share and they wanted to learn. And I think we're at another turning point with all of it. Again, you know, as I said, it's even more crucial right now. The scale of the transformation that's needed in the fashion industry in order to drive this positive change is enormous. And you know, we have to do it at the sort of scale that will reduce the amount of damage that we do in order for us to keep global warming below those catastrophic levels within the next 10 years. And that simply isn't possible for anyone to do individually, for any, you know, individual brand to achieve alone. I think that's a really obvious thing to say, you know, that we need collaboration, that collaboration for sustainability is critical. But I do think it's the sort of one thing that's going to make the most amount of difference, this notion of, can we kind of approach it with a bit of a pre-competitive attitude to how we tackle the scale of the challenges before us? And that's obviously quite a big ask, but it really is such a vital one. And I think anybody that's working in sustainability really identifies with that. And they, you know, they're in it because they want to make a difference, and they probably recognise that they can't do that alone. So that idea of really being able to pull together and convince people at the top that that's what's needed to become a reality is one that I hope we'll start to see some progress in.
So how have you seen conversations around sustainability evolve over the years? I mean, I recall, you know, over a decade ago, conversations around sustainability seemed to be, you know, an optional extra or
totally.
Nice to have, but not really the core of what people were concerned about. Have you seen that shift?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. And I've been tracking sustainability my whole career in many ways. And funny story, actually, I just rediscovered literally a couple of weekends ago, one of the very first articles I wrote about it in print back in 2005. So, you know, we're talking 15 years ago, and that wasn't the beginning of time for this conversation at large. But as you rightly pointed out, you know, that is a lifetime ago for the majority of the industry in terms of where it's got to now. And that notion that it is so much more important. I think the evolution's been fairly standard in many ways. You know, it started with early adopters and it's slowly becoming broader in its awareness. And I think, again, to reference that notion of digital transformation, it's a bit like what we saw with the early days there, that it has hit this sort of mass in terms of conversation. You know, sustainability is the key word of the industry today. But within all of that, I still think we're quite early in that being a huge reality for everyone. Lots of brands have become very good at talking the talk, and marketing efforts have definitely increased. But what we need to see, obviously, is real change. And I'm an optimist, ultimately, so I'm really bullish about the amount of big organisations that have made strides with the targets that they've set, especially those that are focused around the Science Based Targets Initiative and with the efforts that they're making to work towards them. And I think, you know, fundamentally, as an industry, you know, sort of tracking that change that's happened, we are now much more aware of the scale of our impact, even if not absolute, and of the simple fact that we've got to reduce our carbon emissions first and foremost in a really big, big way. And I think that you know, we're starting to see that happening on an individual brand level, but some of that collaborative effort is happening too, which is really great to see, like the G7 Fashion Pact. And I know this is something you talked about with Dr. Helen Crowley in your podcast episode with her, which was really interesting. But that pact and its commitment around climate, biodiversity and oceans target is, again, something I am very optimistic about that can really drive the change that we need.
So as well as running FashMesh, you are a strategist and you help corporations on innovation and sustainability and help them transform their strategies in this regard. How exactly do you do that? Who do you engage with? Where do you see the levers of change in these giant corporations with large revenue streams that may be difficult or slow to adapt to the new realities.
Yeah, totally. I mean, so this is what I call the day job. And you've hit the nail on the head there, is just around the complexity of it. You know, sustainability is so complex, and that's why we talk about this idea of systems change. You know, straight sustainability as it stands can mean so many different things to different people. But the one thing that I really believe that it must mean right now is that it's just not optional anymore. So I still have a lot of CEOs that I work with or try to work with in this instance, where they say to me that they're just not sure about sustainability yet because their consumer isn't particularly interested in it. And I personally really think that we're beyond that point now. This is an essential for the industry to focus on, literally, because if we don't and we keep producing at the level we're doing so without reducing our drain on natural resources, for instance, our carbon emissions, our water usage, you name it, all of those things, we just won't have an industry left. It's gotten to that point. So for me, it's a survival mechanism as well. And right now, I think the key thing to sort of recognize, and this is one of the things I talk about a lot, is that the efforts the industry are making currently are outweighed still by the amount of growing that we're doing. So we need to keep pushing forward, and we need to keep innovating so that we can actually make a difference, because at the moment there isn't a balance there, and it needs to obviously pivot the other way. So my role is to help bring awareness to the change that's needed. So to drive that change internally in organizations through education in one sense, but also through more hands-on projects that can help facilitate it. And my kind of view in all of it is that if I can do that at a scale that makes even a tiny bit of difference within this bigger systems picture, within the scope of the planetary boundaries, I'll be happy. I probably won't be completely satisfied, actually, because I'm not sure the work here will ever be done. But I like to think or hope that I can help move it in the right direction, at least.
You've led strategies and advised on the importance of technology and innovation in sustainability, and you've worked with Google's fashion sustainability platform. What role do you think data analytics and machine learning are playing in driving innovation towards sustainability?
So this is probably where I spend the majority of my time thinking at the moment. I've worked with Google, just to use that as an example, for the past 18 months. And during that time, been really, really focused on how to drive change for the industry by making use of their technology and their access to data. It's a bit of an understatement to say this is a complete dream project. So what we're actually doing is creating a platform that's fed by data analytics and machine learning to bring more accuracy to the raw material stage of the supply chain. So this is, for instance, at the cotton farm. So before that cotton gets made into a fabric or before it gets made into a t-shirt, this is literally about the farming stage and about all of the environmental impact that it has at that level to produce it. So we're talking again about things like carbon usage and water consumption and biodiversity impact, you name it. And what we know through our research and through some of the statistics across the industry is that about 60 to 70% of environmental impact happens at this stage. So before we even start to make the clothes. And the interesting part of this is that the majority of the fashion industry doesn't control this part at all. They don't really have any say whatsoever in there. They don't even have visibility, really. So there is some data that exists already, but what's out there is really static. It's in the main out of date. It's globalized in terms of just being averaged. And it's best in class. So it's sort of, you know, an optimistic picture of what environmental impact that we're having. And it's, you know, saying that if you source your cotton from India or you source it from America, it's going to have the same impact, which obviously we know can't really be the case. So it doesn't show the whole picture, is the point. So what we're trying to do with this project is to help you figure that out, figure out what your impact is if you buy it from one place versus another, and basically creating a platform that means that brands can make more informed decisions because they can actually see it. And I think that's been really enlightening for me, is this notion of accountability, right? So if you can't see it, you can't measure it. And if you can't measure it, you can't change it. So that's kind of been the driving force behind all of this, is let's just open it up. You know, that's our view. If we can open it up, provide access to it, then we can get to a point where people have to be more accountable for their decisions because they can actually see the impact that they're having. And this notion right now of this very invisible layer in the industry, or throughout lots of layers of the supply chain, actually, is incredibly detrimental. And that's, I think, the biggest piece that needs to change, which is what we're trying to do.
So help me understand that in a more kind of practical way, maybe from a kind of user slash would-be customer perspective. I am very excited by getting myself a cashmere sweater, but I'm concerned about its environmental footprint because I've read some stuff that cashmere is just terrible. How will this platform, just kind of talk me through, if you were to achieve your ideal result, what this platform would allow me to do that might alter my consumer behavior?
Sure. So as a consumer, you absolutely would be able to access it. That's the hope, that this becomes an open source platform so anybody can go on it. But its intention is really for the industry. So it will be more that if you work in a sourcing role or a sustainability role within a brand, or even a design role, that you would access this platform so that when you're deciding where to get your cotton from, or probably more importantly, when you're helping your suppliers make those decisions, so you're informing them on where you want them to source the raw material from or the fabric from as it works down the chain, they then have access to that information. So as I say, you know, cotton just being the example, but the hope is to have obviously lots and lots of different materials in there. You would be able to go onto this platform and say, you know, I want to make this item out of this fabric. Where's the best place for me to source it from if I care about these environmental factors, or fundamentally, if I want to have the least environmental impact possible? So the idea is this platform would demonstrate that to you, and you would be able to make your decisions off the back of that, so that eventually what you end up with is a t-shirt or a cashmere jumper in the case that you've given, that is the least impactful to the environment long term. So it's not an overnight fix, but it is certainly something that we foresee making quite a bit of difference. And the reason that we think it can make a huge amount of difference is because of the fact that the industry can then help to encourage, to a certain extent, put pressure on, and also fundamentally themselves drive change at the farming level, because a lot of the reasons that we have such negative environmental impact there is because of the practices that are in place, which traditionally have always been about making things as much volume as possible for as cheap as possible, obviously. So if we can put some practices in place, you know, such as regenerative agriculture, so that the land is farmed in a way that is more environmentally friendly, then the resulting crop will be as well. So there's a lot of investment that needs to happen for that. And hopefully the aim of this is that we open that up and make it much more visible and evident that that needs to be the case.
So you've been writing about sustainability and fashion, as you said, for 15 years before, if you'll excuse the pun, it became fashionable to do so. What changes have you seen during that period that are truly kind of systemic and game changing? And then what changes do you think you'd most like to see in the next few years in order for fashion to meet the responsibilities that are placed on all of us if we are to avoid a planet that is 1.5 degrees hotter than it should be?
Yeah, I mean, fundamentally, lots. You know, we need to come at this from all sorts of different angles, that's the whole notion of it being about systems change. It's not one individual thing. The way I'm trying to approach it is by looking through the lens of innovation. As I say, you know, we're not at a place yet where the changes that we're making are outpacing the growth that's happening. And that's not okay. You know, obviously we need some way for that to jump around the other way around. So for me, it's about tracking all of the different possibilities. You know, data and analytics is one of the ones that we've mentioned already. That obviously ticks off lots of different boxes. It's not just about raw materials as we're focusing on with Google, but it's also around things like, you know, how can we better match supply and demand so that we don't end up with so much waste, for instance. Waste is a massive challenge in this industry that we need to get under control. And that can make an enormous amount of difference. And I think it's also around that accountability piece, you know, that notion of how do we feed that into transparency. You know, how do we make it more visible what we're doing down the supply chain, where, you know, essentially it's just a big black box of complexity, and sort of pull that apart a little bit. And I think, you know, again, like I say, it's so many different angles. So I'm also looking at new materials. You know, how do we drive that through things like recycling, you know, how do we bring new materials into the system as well? You know, those being two different angles, but fundamentally built around the same notion, which is, you know, we can't be pulling in virgin materials anymore into our supply chain. You mean to stop taking from nature to make new products, instead think about how we can reuse what we already have. So Ralph Lauren actually is a nice example here, where they've been taking plastic bottles and turning them into fibers to make products like their Earth Polo. But there's tons of other things happening in this space. You know, we've seen materials being made from algae or from leftover fruit or the byproduct of the coffee harvest or lab-grown spider silks. You name it, there's tons and tons of things here. It's really early and not very much of it is yet scalable, which is why we don't see it sort of across the industry as yet. We just see it being tested. But I think there's a world of possibility here, and that's what gets me really excited about where this industry can go. And then I think the other way around, and this is probably one of the most important angles, is around consumerism itself and how we approach that and think about that differently. And obviously we've seen that in many ways from other sectors. You know, we've seen the rise of the sharing economy, the Airbnb or Uber success stories of the world, for instance. And that's coming to fashion rapidly as well. You know, obviously it's been established in some markets already, but it's expanding at pace to others. And here I mean things like rental fashion. You know, I don't now, if I'm going to an event or I'm speaking at an event for work, or I'm going to, you know, a party or a wedding or something like that, I don't buy an outfit anymore. It doesn't make sense to me. I hire one. But also things like restoration and aftercare, you know, repairing what we wear, I think that's really increasing. And resale, of course, you know, this space is so hot right now, and always it kind of always has been with vintage shopping, but I think it's growing exponentially currently thanks to some of the new innovative players in this space. And that's why I keep coming back to this word innovation, because it doesn't have to just mean, you know, brand new technologies. It's just about new ideas and about how to turn those ideas into realities at scale. And that's really exciting for consumerism, because actually it changes a lot about the ways that we think as an industry. You know, and this notion of, can we move to more of a circular economy, is really, really critical part of the development within all of this, I think.
Yeah, I wonder if the part of the solution, and there's something that I kind of feel, that there's this whole new generation of material scientists and geneticists and biologists and agriculturalists who can help us fundamentally reimagine our supply chains. And if you could do that, and if you could develop a form of cotton that was not very water intensive and also had a massive drawdown effect and helped sequester carbon, and if we could find a non-oil based alternative to polyester, and if we could begin to think of materials that the more you make them, the more they draw down, and in the inherent agricultural and natural process, or in the artificial lab-based process, using existing materials or recycling existing materials, in the act of both growing or manufacturing, you in fact have a carbon sequestering drawdown effect. That may then help square the circle, if you could get the math to work, on the seeming tension between consumption in planetary boundaries, because more of this kind of consumption might actually be good for the planet. And I guess I wonder if you're seeing small inclinations of that in any of the work that you're surveying.
Totally. I think that's absolutely right. And that's what I think is so exciting about this. You know, there is so much possibility when we start looking at science. You know, and that's what this needs fundamentally. This industry is built on science, though we never really think about it, but fundamentally it is. And that's really interesting, all of these bits of possibilities. I met someone the other day who is capturing carbon through a t-shirt by using photosynthesis, and that's enabling a carbon negative, or if you will, a climate positive garment. And that's fascinating, you know, this idea. Could we make that a reality? You know, and of course, we can make it reality at the scale of one right now, same as, you know, the way that we can see those lab-grown spider silks being a reality on a small level. But what's needed in this space, you know, of all of those things that you've suggested can be a reality for the industry so that we can find that equilibrium, we need those innovations to be at scale. And for that to happen, we need real investment. And that's the gap here. You know, we need to really push that forward. And my concern is that we don't have very much time. You know, we really, really, you know, 10 years is not that long. If you think about where we were 10 years ago now, you know, it feels like a lot in terms of the amount of change that we've had with the sort of whole digital transformation. But in reality, it's not very long. And I think that's quite scary to think, you know, what can be achieved in the next 10 years, because we don't really have a choice. And that's quite hard to stomach. But it's also what fires me on quite a lot further. You know, we need these innovations to be adopted. And we need to feed them into this broader systemic movement, as I mentioned, so it all fits together. So I think it's a combination of slight concern, but also opportunity and excitement. And it's how all of those things fit together and trying to encourage people to back them in a big way. And we need brands to back them to sort of drive them forward. And as I say, we need that investment to actually make them a reality as well.
So let me conclude by asking you, obviously, as a person who sought to, you know, lead an accomplished professional life, but also marry it with purpose. What advice would you give to somebody who's wanting to build a career in the fashion industry now and seeking to, you know, make positive social change? What should they do if they're just beginning on this quest?
I mean, I think what you said just now is quite interesting, actually, you know, that we're all waiting for scientists to sort of figure it out. And actually, it would be the same thing that we would say about the climate crisis. You know, it's really easy to sit here and, as I mentioned, you know, think, oh, it doesn't affect me. But if you want to work in it, also think, well, you know, I'm not that way inclined. I'm not an expert in these fields. So what can I actually do to make a difference? And I think it's the point, you know, to borrow a phrase from Greta Thunberg, you know, no one is too small to make a difference at all. So I think my sort of singular piece of advice, and a lot of people come to me, especially when they're trying to understand how they can pivot their careers into this space, is just start, you know, just start and don't look back. Like, our planet won't wait, and we need you. Like, we need every single different type of skill set within this to make the kind of level of change that we do. So do everything that you can. Jump in, get stuck in, and get started, because it's urgent, basically.
Rachel, those are wise and inspiring words with which to end. So thank you very much. I thoroughly enjoyed our conversation, and good luck for your really critically important work in the days, months, and years ahead.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you for listening to Conduit Conversations. Feel free to subscribe. This podcast is available on all major podcast platforms. For more information on Ralph Lauren's Sustainability Charter or on Ralph Lauren's Design for Change program, visit ralphlauren.com or corporate.ralphlauren.com. And for more information on The Conduit and our community of changemakers, please visit theconduit.com.